This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال الله تعالى في التنزيل العزيز بعد أن نقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال رسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جاءكم شهر رمضان شهر رمضان شهر مبارك كتب الله وكتب الله عليكم صيامه فيه تفتح أبواب الجنات وتغلق فيه أبواب الجحيم. As you will undoubtedly have heard from the hadith that I just read to you, it is the month of Ramadan again that is coming up, alhamdulillah, next week. And this month you will hear much about it before it, much about it during it, much about it after it. And there is a reason for that. And the reason for that is that it is no doubt the best time of the year for the believer. The month of Ramadan is by far and away the best time for a believer. It is so blessed. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called it شهر رمضان شهر مبارك. The entire month of Ramadan is a blessed month. Which means, because the idea of blessing, barakah, is it's in its essence something that you get more out of it than you put in. If there is barakah in food, maybe the quantity is not as much, but everybody feels satisfied. If there's barakah in a person's wealth, doesn't mean that you have a lot of it necessarily, but whatever you have, you're happy with. It's sufficient for you. It's more than, you know, you the amount you expect out of it, you actually get far more than that. Shahrun Mubarak. It is a month where what we put in and what we expect out of it is actually far more what we get from it. What we get from this month, in more clearer terms, is far more than what we can expect in the entire month. Every aspect of it. The fasting, the prayer, the du'as, every aspect of it. You will get more out of it than you expect. And when the Messenger of Allah calls this month as such, he even says that as a result of this, or as a sign of this being such a blessed month, is that the doors of Jannah are open and the doors of hellfire are closed. Which is a sign again that this is a time for people to attain salvation and come back to the religion. Not just being Muslim in name, but actually being Muslim in practice. This is that time. Because the doors of Jannah are open and the gates of Jahannam are closed. It's a even more of an open invitation that Allah has put out. There was a study that was done recently. It was a Pew Research poll that did a research, and the conclusion of it was that about 40% of American Muslims regularly pray, which is a good number, and I would say that's probably the same of Canadian Muslims. And about 80% of American Muslims fast during Ramadan, all of the fasts of Ramadan, which shows you that it is double the number of people who are regularly practicing. Meaning people who regularly don't pray, regularly are not in the masjid, even those people in Ramadan are fasting because tuftahu fihi abwabul jannah. The doors of Jannah are open. The gates of Jahannam are closed. Everybody gets closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the prime opportunity. This is the best time of the year for the believer. This is the best time of the year. So that's why we will talk about this month. And we'll continue talking about it. Because this is the time where we can get far more than we expect. The month of Barakah. This month, as we are preparing for it, I want to present a few things, few items for you to think about as we are approaching this month. And these items represent a preparation of the heart and a preparation of the mind and a preparation of the soul. All three have to be prepared to go into this month of Ramadan. If I was to ask you to run a marathon and you have not trained a day in your life, or you haven't trained for many years, after the first few hundred meters, you will probably have to stop. If you continue, you will probably get hurt, because you're just not ready for it. If I ask you to do something difficult academically, like a very difficult test, and you have not prepared for it, you are definitely not going to pass it. Maybe some rare exception, mashallah, some genius might pass it, but by and large, all of us will not pass a test like that unless you have prepared for it. And this applies to everything in life. It applies to Ramadan as well. If there is a preparation going into Ramadan, what we get out of it is going to be more. If there isn't any preparation going into Ramadan, there's a chance that you will squander many days of this extremely blessed month before you hit your peak. And maybe by that time it's too late. That's why it's important for us to get into the mindset of Ramadan, to prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for this month before it arrives. Ramadan for many people ends up being a month of self-preservation. A month of self-preservation. What do I mean by that? People shut off many activities that they normally do, preserving energy until iftar. Preserving their energy until iftar. It's like you're like a phone. You want to preserve your battery life until you reach iftar, and then you can recharge your battery life. That's not the optimal way of looking at Ramadan. That is not the way the Messenger of Allah approached Ramadan. He did not go into this self-preservation mode. Let me conserve my energy. Let me not do too much. No. Ramadan was a time where he was free to do more. It was a time where he was free to do more. How so? The Messenger of Allah is described by Abdullah bin Abbas and others as كَانَ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ بِالْخَيْرِ. He was the most generous person. He was the one who would do most good amongst all of these people, who are all terrific, great people, some of the best people to have ever lived on the earth. He was by far and away the best of them. By far and away. The most generous, the first to do something that's good, that was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كَانَ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ بِالْخَيْرِ. وَإِنْ رَمَضَان, he would become وَأَجْوَدُ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَان. He would be even more generous in Ramadan. حِينَ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلِ, when Jibreel would come and he would revise Quran with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam every single night. The effect of the Qur'an, the effect of the fasting on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so profound, it made the most generous person even most generous, even more generous. It made the most generous person even more generous. The best person, even better. Not that he somehow retreated into a shell of himself. He became even more than he was regularly sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is not the time. If a person is not prepared in Ramadan, there is a very good chance you will just enter into that, you know, just let me keep my energy, let me not expend it too much. That's going to happen if you're not ready for it. And then those moments and those days will be wasted. Whereas if we're prepared, we can be freed. Free from the burdens of certain tasks that occupy much of our time, much of our minds. Free from that to do more good. It might sound really bizarre, but I personally feel when I'm fasting that it is one less thing that I have to think about and one less thing that I have to do, which is, you know, have lunch. Now, like I said, it may sound bizarre, but I truly feel this way. Like when I get up and leave the house in the morning, I'm very comfortable and very happy. I have to not worry about where am I getting my lunch from, what am I eating, nothing. I can just focus on whatever I have to do. And I'm not the only one. I think many of you would feel that way. If you just have had a nice suhoor, you're well rested, the siyam allows you to take your productivity and your spirituality to a next level. It definitely does happen. It's 100% true. I have felt it for many years, alhamdulillah. I'm sure many of you felt something similar, if not something better. This is no doubt the effect of siyam, fasting in Ramadan. We have to be ready for it though. That's the, you know, that's what it's predicated upon. We have to be ready for it. So I'm going to give us some things to think about as we're getting ready for Ramadan. Preparing the heart, number one. I spoke about this 2 weeks ago at length, so I'm not going to repeat myself all over again. Which is, we have to let go of grudges. We have to let bygones be bygones. We have to start forgiving people in order to be forgiven by Allah. We have to. And this is something that is from the makarimul akhlaq, that is from the most important characteristics of a believer that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to perfect. There is no doubt about it. So we have to start incorporating this forgiveness in our lives, because when we forgive others, that's when the doors of forgiveness of Allah open up for us. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that لا يحل لمسلم لا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاث ليال. He says it is not permissible for a Muslim to completely abandon and intentionally cut off his brother or sister for more than 3 days. It's not permissible. You have a 3-day period of cooling off if you have gotten upset at somebody, but 3 days later it's time to make amends. It's time to make amends. You see the pragmatism in the sunnah. We all need some space sometimes. We all make mistakes. We all need a little bit of time to cool off. But once you've cooled off, once the dust has settled, now it's time to build bridges again, make amends. It's not permissible, right? And this is something the Messenger of Allah advised us to do. It's an act of forgiveness, to let bygones be bygones. لا تباغضوا ولا تحاسدوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. Another narration the Messenger says that don't hate each other. Don't have any type of envy towards the other person. Don't look at what other people have longingly, wanting that same thing, or questioning how they got it, trying to discredit them. Don't do that. Don't abandon your brothers and sisters. Be like actual brothers and sisters. كونوا عباد الله إخوانا. Like actual family. This is how we're supposed to be. This is the bar that's been set. An important thing, as a tangent, I'll tell you. People who accept Islam, people who come to the faith, even though as Muslims we have many flaws and our situation can always be better, it's a far cry from the way it used to be, but still the remnants of this hadith, the remnants of this brotherhood and ukhuwah, they're so strong that somebody who enters the faith, they are blown away by it. When you ask a person who is a new Muslim and ask them, well, what did you really like, you know, you spent Ramadan with us, what did you find? Right? And you expect them to talk about the fasting, how it was difficult, expect them to talk about, you know, how, you know, the Quran was being recited and it's a whole spiritual experience that they've never had. But from my experience, the majority of those people say it was that brotherhood. It was the experience of getting together, eating together, being together, people caring for you. I have never felt that in my life. That is such a beautiful element of our religion. It cannot be compromised. That aspect of our religion, the forgiveness and the brotherhood, that is what Allah's forgiveness is predicated upon. So I would say, let's prepare our hearts by letting bygones be bygones. That's number one. Number two is to restart ibadah. A lot of us perhaps have slacked off, have not done a good job in our ibadah, praying on time, praying in the masjid. You know, if you have not prayed salah, may Allah forgive all of our sins, it's time to restart now. This is the time to restart. Let's get back on that course. Let's start the salawat again, 5 times a day. On its time. This is the time to do it. If you haven't made dua in a while, and when I say make dua, not dua that is just repeated because it's a habit, dua that's really coming from the heart, dua that's really, really meaningful. If you haven't made that kind of dua in a while, brother, it's time to start now. It's time to start now. Start the preparation for Ramadan by starting your dua one more time. It's very important because, you know, Ramadan is the month when Allah describes the month of Ramadan in the Quran, very, as you would have heard many, many times. Very, very famously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ayah, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. When my servants ask you about me, say that I am near. I respond to the call of one who calls, whenever he calls me. Let them then respond to me and believe in me, so that they may be rightly guided. This ayah that speaks entirely about the spiritual connection between the servant of Allah, the person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the master. That connection that is based on dua. That relationship that's established on dua. You're asking about who Allah is because you want to know how to supplicate to Him. You want to know when your dua will be answered. Allah says, وَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I'm close. Your dua will be answered. Have no doubt about it. It's the month of dua, my brothers and sisters. This is the time. So before we... It's unrealistic for a person to just all of a sudden flip the switch and start making very beautiful, heartfelt dua every single day in Ramadan. It's not going to happen. The preparation for it is, let's start slowly building up to it. Start to make the du'as that the Messenger ﷺ would make. He makes very, very well authenticated, well preserved du'as after every prayer, after every Fajr prayer in the morning, after every Asr prayer in the evening. Many, many du'as, what's called Adhkar al-Sabahi wal-Masa, the remembrances of the morning and the evening. These are some of the most priceless gems that you can ever come across. Learn them. If you can't learn them by heart, find a little book, The Fortress of the Muslim, and read them. Download the app or something, and make the time and the effort to read them. Extremely beautiful. And very, very, as you read them with understanding, with a thoughtful heart, you will see how the effect of that dua manifests itself. You will see the effect of that dua literally cleansing your soul. You will see the effect of it in your life. The contentment you feel, the increase in peace that you would feel when you make the du'as of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam every morning, every evening, every single prayer. It's not very complicated, it's very straightforward. You get that app, you get the book, and you start reading. And that's the preparation. It's time also to restart, brothers and sisters. When it comes to our ibadah, it's time to restart coming to the masjid. أقول ما تسمعون, I'll talk about this afterwards. أقول ما تسمعون واستغفر الله لكم فاستغفرون الله. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى أما بعد. As we're talking about preparing for the month of Ramadan, I spoke about preparing our hearts. And that is by forgiveness. It's about preparing our soul through getting in the habit of making dua. Because the way the soul gets cleansed is through dua. the connection, the spirituality that we achieve through our worship comes from the dua. Comes from how sincere and meaningful that dua is. But preparation also is when it comes to restarting our worship, restarting our or re-establishing our connection with the masjid. It's time, my brother and sister, to come back to the masjid. If you haven't been in a while, you're here, mashallah, right now. But besides Jum'ah, regularly, coming for salah. It's, again, unrealistic for someone to not show up to the masjid at any time during the year, and then all of a sudden they start showing up in Ramadan every single day. It's unrealistic. It's not sustainable. But what is sustainable is, let's get back into it slowly but surely before the month comes across. And then the chances of coming to the masjid during the month of Ramadan go up. Coming to the masjid is such an important aspect. I spoke about this a couple of months ago, about how the person who is shaded under the throne of Allah is one of the most important characteristics of that person is their heart is attached to the mosque. Meaning, they feel at home in the mosque. They feel at home. They feel like this is the place that I belong in. That only happens if you're coming regularly. When a person comes to the masjid for salah, and take the example of the Isha prayer, okay? The Isha prayer. If you come to the masjid for the Isha prayer, every single footstep that you take, or the equivalent of a footstep, you're driving perhaps, okay? Every single footstep or the equivalent of a footstep, you have one reward for that. Every single footstep or an equivalent of it, your one sin is being forgiven. When you are at the masjid for Isha, you pray in the congregation, you pray and you get 27 times the reward of that prayer. 27 times. SubhanAllah. That's like 27 prayers. That's 5 days worth of prayers, even a bit more than that actually. It's not even a hyperbole, by the way. The number 27 is not like hundreds and thousands. It's actually 27. It's an actual number. When you pray Isha and Fajr at the masjid, the additional reward of that is getting the reward of half of the night's worship. Half of the night for Isha, half of the night for Fajr. As if you stood up and prayed for 3 hours. That's an additional bonus that Allah has given us for free, just for coming to the masjid and praying Isha with the congregation. For free, you get, while you're sleeping in your bed, the reward of praying at night has already been written down for you. SubhanAllah. When a person comes to the masjid and they say salam to their fellow brothers and sisters, that is a means of forgiveness. When they shake each other's hands, the Messenger describes that the sins fall off. The sins fall off just like the trees shed leaves. Just like the leaves fall off a tree when it's fall, the same way sins are shedding off a person when they're shaking their brother's hands and saying assalamu alaikum. SubhanAllah. When a person finishes their salah and they're sitting in their place after having finished the prayer, every moment they're sitting there without speaking, without moving, but they're just sitting there, perhaps remembering Allah, perhaps just silently sitting there. Every moment that they're doing that, angels are asking Allah to forgive them. Angels are making dua for that person. All of that for just one prayer. All that for one prayer. There's nothing in the world that is going to be equivalent to the reward of praying in the masjid. There's nothing that is worth, you know, outside of important activities like work and whatnot, and no entertainment, no playoff game, nothing is worth your Isha prayer in the masjid. Nothing comes close. But that is a priority that we have to establish, and we have to build it up right now, leading into Ramadan, so that when Ramadan comes, this is a habit that we can establish. And then we pray that after Ramadan it continues. My brothers and sisters, the month is again upon us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to reach it. Allahumma ballighna Ramadan ya Rabbil Alameen. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq, the guidance to do all good things in this month. I ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to leave our sins, to break the bad habits that we have made throughout the year. I ask Allah to make this the best Ramadan of our lives. Inna Allahumma malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabiyyi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin fil awwalin wa fil akhirin wa salli ala Muhammadin fil mala'il a'la ila yawmiddin. Allahumma ahyina ala sunnatihi wa mitna ala millatihi wa ahshurna fi zumratihi wa asqina min hawdihi ya rabbal alamin. Wa aqimus salaam.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا